Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Yesterday, we talked about some of the challenges associated with making a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, but today we're going to talk about the challenges associated with treating bipolar disorder.
Wow.
Because this is just as great a challenge.
That's right. They always say where the rubber meets the road is in treatment.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But with bipolar disorder, getting to an accurate diagnosis is no easy matter.
Right.
Okay. And because diagnosis drives treatment,
right,
and you need an accurate diagnosis in order to get the right intervention,
right,
these two things have to be carefully done,
right,
over a period of time.
Right. And I think that that's a critical point, because as we get into this conversation about treatment,
mm-hmm,
we have to begin with the assumption of an accurate diagnosis.
Right.
Many times, people who have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder will talk about circumstances, we'll talk about experiences where treatment works well for a short period of time and then just stops working.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I hear that, whether it's with bipolar disorder, ADHD, anything else, depression, anything else, anytime I hear that, my radar goes up for, we got to make sure this is the right diagnosis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if your diagnosis is correct, your treatment should be correct.
It should work. It should be effective.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It should be in line with what needs to happen.
Right.
If it's not, or if it's inconsistent, then either the diagnosis is wrong or the treatment adherence is wrong.
That's right. Either in schools they call it treatment fidelity.
Fidelity.
Yeah, intervention.
Right. We always talk about fidelity.
But what it is are you doing what you're supposed to do?
Right.
You know, when I worked in epilepsy clinics, we always would say that the major reason for incomplete seizure control was medication noncompliance.
Right.
People didn't want to take the medications.
Right.
Or they would take them incorrectly, or
right,
they would be taking the wrong one. And that was the major reason that people couldn't get complete seizure control, was medication
right,
noncompliance. I'm sure it's not just epilepsy.
Right.
High blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
People die because they start to feel good. They
mm-hmm
say, well, I'm fine. They stop taking their medication, then they start having strokes and heart attacks.
Right.
Okay. So you're right. It's either an inaccurate diagnosis and the wrong treatment, or accurate diagnosis, accurate intervention, but the intervention is not being done correctly.
With fidelity.
I'm not going to say that.
I don't know why they refer to it that way, but their treatment adherence is incomplete.
Compliance is absolutely essential.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, as we get into this discussion of treatment, we're going to begin with the assumption that we have an accurate diagnosis, that it's not a medical condition like hyperthyroidism,
right,
or some other neurological disorder or anything like
mm-hmm
that. This is bipolar disorder. And so now we're going to get into treatment ideas.
And we have the whether it's bipolar 1, bipolar
right
2, or cyclothymia, we've also
right
done that differential diagnosis.
Right.
So we are reasonably sure now that we have an accurate diagnosis.
Right.
Okay, so then we move toward treatment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, unlike some of the other treatments, other conditions that we've talked about so far, with bipolar disorder, the first line of treatment is medication.
Exactly, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about with depression, you know, with depression, oftentimes you can do psychotherapy
mm-hmm
first. You should do psychotherapy first. With anxiety, psychotherapy can be very effective.
Right.
Bipolar disorder is a different beast, and
right,
and medication is the first line of treatment.
Exactly, right. Yeah, you have to stop these exaggerated mood swings,
right,
okay? That defines bipolar disorder, are
mm-hmm
the mood swings. And especially problematic is the mania.
Right.
Okay. And so you need to get those stopped as soon as possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the gold standard, if we're going to refer to it that way, of medication for bipolar disorder is lithium. Bipolar type 1, mania,
right,
is lithium. Lithium is a salt.
right? That's found naturally in the earth. And
it's a natural element.
The efficacy of lithium, like so many things in our field, which makes me insane, was found accidentally.
Accidental discovery.
There happens to be, there were these villages and towns that lived near, you know, lithium resources, springs. And, you know, they would drink the water that had high levels of, relatively high levels of lithium in it. You have to be really careful with lithium, but, and people noticed that, you know, their mood.
Everybody was in good mood. Not that they were in a good mood. They didn't have, they were stable, emotionally stable.
Right. And so they checked it out and they said, well, look, there's a lot of lithium in there, in their water. And so, that's how we get started.
Lo and behold,
lithium does a lot in the body. And again, we're not really sure which thing it is that it does that helps with bipolar, but it helps a lot of people.
You know, one of the things we talk about with bipolar disorder is, besides the mood swings and the search for mania, bipolar disorder has a tendency to distort your view of yourself and your view of others and your view of the world.
Right.
The biggest problem is it distorts your vision.
Right.
Okay. And the best example I heard is that medications are like glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They're like eyeglasses, corrective lenses, is that the medications give you a more accurate view of the world, of yourself and of your world.
Right.
Then you can begin the work, the other four components of treatment.
Right.
Because with most of these disorders, and certainly bipolar's in this category, you need comprehensive treatment.
Right.
So there are four or five components to treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have medication on board and you correct the view, then you can move on to the other parts of the intervention program that are going to be essential.
Because
medication alone isn't going to fix this. It's not going to cure it. What it's going to do is it's going to change your vision.
Right, So lithium, again, lithium is the main prescription glasses for bipolar disorder. There are some challenges with lithium because it is a salt, and so we have to be careful of the buildup in our body, and so it has a relatively small, narrow therapeutic index, and so it's very easy for a person to be taking too little, and it's just not effective.
Right.
And more concerningly, taking too much, and they get into toxicity. But if it stays within that nice therapeutic range, it usually works pretty well for people.
Right.
You can tell if you're getting into the toxic range, you get the shakes. There's a lot of thirst involved because as it's salt, it will dry you out a little bit. And you get these really pronounced tremors that you just don't have normally. And so you have to be careful of those things.
Right.
And there's frequent blood tests that are used, and you have to check kidney function because unlike most other medications that are processed through the liver, lithium is processed through the kidneys, and so you have to make sure your kidneys are healthy.
Yep, you got to make sure that, because, we'll talk about medication binding someday, how medicines bind to receptors, and everybody has different kinds and numbers of receptors, and so what doesn't bind is what causes the side effects, you know, and so it's a that would be an interesting topic.
It would be.
We could talk about, but we need visuals.
Yes.
I don't think. Yeah, we couldn't do that without visuals.
Yeah, we need
visuals. Okay. So lithium.
Lithium is sort of the first line.
Mainly targeting mania.
Mainly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now there are other medications. And there's a very broad class of medications called mood stabilizers.
Yeah.
But those mood stabilizers are medications that are originally housed in other categories.
Right.
So you had the anticonvulsants like Depakote,
Tegretol, Carbamazepine.
Right. Those are medications that fall within the anti-epileptic or anti-seizure, anti-convulsant medications, but they also have mood stabilizing effects.
Again, accidental discovery.
Right.
You know, we developed, the medications were initially developed to treat seizures, and lo and behold, we learned. I remember when Depakote, because it was a newer anti-epileptic medication, and suddenly this psychiatrist giving it, and I thought, wait a minute, that's an anti-epileptic drug. And I said, yeah, but it has mood stabilizing properties, and I was surprised to learn that.
Yeah.
When I worked in this field in Texas, the neuropsychiatrist there relied on on Tegretol,
right.
But that was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And he used anti-epileptic medications mm-hmm. for to stabilize mood right. in teenagers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Other mood stabilizers come from the category of antipsychotics.
Antipsychotics,
actually. So you have right. like things like Risperdal and Abilify and Geodone and Seroquel and some of those others that have a whole nature of side effects themselves
right.
that are challenging and mm-hmm. concerning because they primarily focus on dopamine and right. norepinephrine to an extent. But so you have a lot of movement side effects with mm-hmm. those, and so you have to be cautious of that. But all of these medications, there's going to be blood work that's done to monitor right. blood levels to make sure that you're in the therapeutic range.
Certainly, that's the case with anti-epileptic medications.
Right.
Routinely checked for, because you want to keep that medication in a range, so that you have therapy with minimal side effects.
Right. Now, even though a person with bipolar disorder has depressive episodes, mm-hmm. antidepressant medications should not be prescribed alone by themselves.
Right.
In fact, if a person we talked earlier this week about the possibility of a person presenting with a depressive episode, but the person really has bipolar disorder, but hasn't had that initial manic episode yet. But they've had a depressive episode, and they go to the physician, and they are complaining about depression.
Right.
Nobody has any
idea. Looks like depression.
That there's that it's bipolar disorder, but
right.
So the physician prescribes an antidepressant,
right.
like Paxil or Prozac or something like that. Many times the person will respond adversely to that mm-hmm. and could trigger a manic episode and the
right.
person becomes very, manic, begins with hypomania
right.
usually, and then mm-hmm. it works its way up to mania.
Right.
When that's recognized, or maybe I should say before that's recognized, sometimes that could lead to or result in some of the things that we see related to the black box warning on mm-hmm. antidepressants that suggests that people, especially younger people, teens and young adults, on antidepressants sometimes have an increased risk for suicidal ideation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are some who propose the idea that that's because they're unknowingly misdiagnosed with bipolar with depression
right.
when they really have bipolar disorder
mm-hmm.
and the treatment is just wrong. Nonetheless, the point for that is if that situation happens and the person is diagnosed with depression, experiences a manic episode after starting the antidepressants, that manic episode doesn't count for your diagnosis because it could just be a medication reaction.
Right.
So we have to take off the medication and see if the person has another manic episode
right.
at some point. So that doesn't count as an initial manic episode. That's just counted as a adverse reaction
it's
to
a
medication.
Side effect of the, it's mm-hmm. an adverse reaction to medication.
Right. Mm-hmm. So although antidepressants can't be used in isolation, they can be and often are used in conjunction with, or what they would mm-hmm. call concomitant, with a mood stabilizer.
Right.
So if the person, you know, we've talked about different iterations of the way that bipolar can present over the course of the week. But if a person has bipolar disorder, but it has only had one manic episode,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
one or two, just a few manic episodes, but is recurringly depressed, the physician will often put them on a mood stabilizer like Depakote or
right.
something like that,
mm-hmm.
but also an antidepressant to
right.
treat the depression. So the mm-hmm. Depakote sort of keeps the mania at bay
right.
while the antidepressant can get in to work on the depression.
Right. Yeah, we see that in children. That came out years ago that
right.
if a child might have ADHD and also it's very difficult to differentiate bipolar disorder from ADHD in children.
Right.
Stabilize the mood first before you start
right.
it's the same thing. Stabilize the mood first before you start stimulants because
mm-hmm.
stimulants do the same thing as antidepressants.
Right.
You know, if you stimulate, you can stimulate mania
right.
With a stimulant medication. So that's why this disorder is
mm-hmm.
a little bit different from
right.
many others, is you're always dealing with two things, and that's what you have to remember. That's
right.
what makes diagnosis difficult, and that's what makes treatment so challenging.
Right, and that's how we get into a situation of what we refer to as polypharmacy.
Right, that's right.
With bipolar disorder, those with bipolar disorder are typically on multiple medications.
You're typically going to be on at least two.
Right.
Okay. And then other things might come up, mm-hmm. and you need to be on a third right. or a fourth. And then you have side effects, so you may be on a fifth.
Right.
It's a very challenging
right.
process.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we get into the other four aspects of mm-hmm. treatment, one's awareness and participation in these other forms of treatment can help reduce the number of medications that are necessary.
Right.
It is not likely to reduce or eliminate the need mm-hmm. for medication.
Right. Right.
You probably still need medication, but it can help reduce the number of medications or the dosage of medications that you have to take.
That's right. This is one of those disorders. There are a few others, but this is one of those disorders where patient and family participation are critical and have a profound effect on right. treatment efficacy. Mm-hmm. Because if the patient is engaged and involved, outcome is going to be much better.
Right.
We're going to talk about those other, for example, the easiest example is if you have bipolar disorder and a substance abuse problem,
right.
it's going to complicate things far beyond anybody's ability to get effective treatment.
Absolutely.
Okay? And so anything else that's added to the picture mm-hmm. is going to complicate things, and it may complicate them beyond the point where beyond treatment effectiveness.
Right, right. Yeah, so you have to, well, as we talked about earlier and you just mentioned, there's a constant monitoring for substance abuse and treatment
right.
adherence and, mm-hmm. and all of that. And it's critical that family is involved for that reason.
Families have to be involved in this.
Right.
I mean, you can't leave your family out of this
right.
out of this treatment picture.
Right.
You just can't.
So as we look at, so as we leave medication,
mm-hmm.
So medication is going to be a staple. It's going to be, unfortunately, right. it's going to be necessary. The other four, in my mind, these other four overlap considerably
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because they're all part of the, or all should be part of the psychotherapeutic process
right.
In my mind. And those other four are psychotherapy, education, lifestyle management, and support.
Mm-hmm.
They are distinct, but
right.
I think that all of them can be sort of fostered through the therapeutic process.
Right.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So in psychotherapy, with those with bipolar disorder, the focus is not too dissimilar from what we focus on in depression. You know, you
That's
have
right.
to look at those thoughts because, you know, the depressive episodes, you're still going to have those cognitive distortions with right. depressive episodes, but you're also going to have them with mania.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have, you know, delusions of grandeur. You're going to have these beliefs that you can, you know, do all these things that you can't do, but you're going to believe that you can do them. So you, when you're in a manic episode, you're going to be far less capable of having the necessary insight to do something about it.
Right.
But nonetheless, you know, we work to build those skills, build that insight so
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it can help deter manic episodes.
That's right. Psychotherapy is going to focus on four things.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships,
right?
Because relationships are going to be problematic
mm-hmm.
when you're going through these mood swings. Managing stress, which
right.
we've talked about many times. Managing mood regulation,
right.
okay? And the last is lifestyle changes.
Right.
Okay, so the psychotherapy is designed to manage your life better.
Right.
Okay, you have got to get control of your life. I think the most important thing, once you get the proper medications on board,
mm-hmm.
then the most important thing for a patient and the patient's family to do
right.
is to get your life under control.
Right.
Avoid alcohol, avoid caffeine, eat properly, sleep properly,
mm-hmm.
get into a good lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle, and because that will help manage everything else. It'll make the medications more effective. It'll reduce the need for some medications.
Mm-hmm.
If you have excellent sleep hygiene,
mm-hmm.
maybe you won't have to go to some medication to help you sleep, which
right.
is what happens with many of
mm-hmm.
these patients, is they have to, and we hate to see it happen, but then you have, if they're not sleeping properly, you have to then move into the benzodiazepines
right.
for sleep, Klonopin, and those sorts of things. But if you have good sleep hygiene, there's a possibility you can avoid the need right. For that third medication.
Right.
Okay. But this takes a lot of effort, and right. it's something that families need to be involved in
right.
because it's if you have a person in your house who has bipolar disorder, maybe everybody has to decide how they're
right.
going to use alcohol,
right.
Or if at all.
Right.
You know, maybe it's best to remove it from the house
right.
altogether. So, or sugar, or mm-hmm. whatever else, eating properly.
Right.
You know. If you have this, nutrition is going to be an important part of your lifestyle.
Right.
But all these things come under the heading, broad heading of psychotherapy.
Right. And that's exactly what I was saying, that they're all so interrelated, because
right.
you one of the things that we do frequently with individuals with bipolar disorder is psychoeducation.
Right.
You know, you're really providing information about the disorder, about the condition, about the symptoms, about mm-hmm. what's happening.
Right.
So that the person better understands mm-hmm. themselves and their symptoms.
Right.
But what goes along with that is psychoeducation for the family.
Right.
And that goes down to the support. That was the number five thing, the support. It is so important that the family understands what's going
That's
on
right.
so that they can see the signs. Okay, this looks like we could potentially be on the path of getting into a manic episode, so
right.
let's help intercede and
right.
pull back some mm-hmm. things so that we can hopefully prevent that from happening.
Right.
You know, if you know that that if you see your loved one who has bipolar disorder and they're starting to stay up later at night and getting up earlier in the morning, so their sleep cycle's off and they're starting
mm-hmm.
to take on more and more tasks at work, or they're trying to, you know, they're starting to talk really fast and, you know,
right.
all this. That's the time to say, you know, if both people are educated as far as what's going on, they say, hey, you know what? You really seem to be getting revved up over the last couple of days.
Right.
You know, let's go for a walk and let's start pulling things down and doing some of those stress management things.
That's right. That's right. And if the family's involved in that,
mm-hmm.
you can begin to intercede
right.
early before you hit a romantic episode.
And it also prevents relationship issues.
Exactly.
You know, I think that one of the most important populations, one of the most important groups that we don't do enough psychoeducation for in these circumstances
mm-hmm.
are the kids.
The kids, right.
We yeah. don't inform the kids well enough for them to understand their bipolar parent.
That's right. And they need, yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've worked with a teenager who's been brought in usually by a grandparent.
Right.
Who is angry and seems to be oppositional and
mm-hmm.
confrontational and refuses to do things. And as you get to know them and you're talking to them, you find out more that, you know, okay, so mom has bipolar disorder. And so the kids' behaviors mirror when mom's in these different phases.
Right.
And he's much more oppositional when mom is acting this way. And so you provide some education. And the kid's like, oh,
okay.
I thought that my mom was just a, you know, and then they'll say different words. But, you know, but it's, if they don't understand, they just see their parent as being, you know, unreasonable, as being unpredictable.
Right.
And they don't understand that.
They'll say things like, well, my mom gets angry, she takes it out on me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not really anger, and
right.
she's not angry with you.
Right.
So the child will react to
mm-hmm.
what the child thinks is happening.
Right.
Okay. So you have to educate the children, and it's
right.
a tricky business because it's hard to tell a child your mother has a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to be very, very careful.
Right.
But you have to educate the family.
Yeah.
It's the same with spouses in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many spouses really get shaken to the core when
mm-hmm.
they realize that so this isn't, she's just not in a bad mood once
right.
in a while.
I mean, how many times do they come in and say, oh, so that's a mental health issue.
Right.
That's a medical condition that's
right.
making her like that. I thought
right.
that she was just being mean.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, so psychoeducation is of critical importance. And,
right.
you know, now getting to the fourth thing, the lifestyle.
Lifestyle, right.
The staying on a good sleep cycle. Sleep routine is probably the most important thing that a person with bipolar disorder can do.
I was shaking my head as you were talking, saying, I don't, in addition, except for medication,
right.
I think sleep hygiene is probably the second most important thing you can
mm-hmm.
do. You have got, because remember, we're talking about mood swings,
right?
Mood changes. and you want to get into a good life rhythm.
Right.
Okay. And sleep is a critical part of that rhythm.
Absolutely.
You have to sleep well.
Right.
Okay. And as you were talking earlier, you probably noticed my mind was wandering a little bit. I was thinking that if you had a serious terminal illness,
mm-hmm.
you'd change your diet, you'd start to, you'd do absolutely everything you could, okay, to manage this.
Right.
Because if you don't, you're going to die.
Right.
Bipolar disorder, you're not going to die from it, probably.
Hopefully.
Right. But it's the same kind of thing. You have to be willing to make these lifestyle changes. You have to change. If your doctor said to you, you have diabetes,
mm-hmm.
you would change the way you eat, you'd monitor your blood sugar, you'd start to exercise, you'd lose weight, you would do everything you're told to do,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because if you don't, you're going to get very, very sick.
Right.
It's the same with bipolar disorder.
Right.
You have to do what is recommended. You have to do the treatment,
mm-hmm.
and you have to do it faithfully, and right. you have to do it accurately, and you have to do it every day.
Right.
Okay? And sleep is where it begins.
Right.
You have to get good sleep habits.
Absolutely.
Whatever you have to do, you have to sleep well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sleep is...
There's no way to under... That you cannot overestimate the value of good sleep.
Right. But the other thing, I remember when I... Back when I was teaching a course called Psychodiagnostics, I was teaching graduate level counselors to be,
right.
how to make diagnoses. And whenever I got to bipolar disorder, I like showing videos and things mm-hmm. like that so that we can see it. And there used to be this great video, and it was pulled off of YouTube, and I can't find it now. I've looked for it multiple times, but not recently, so maybe it's back up. But it was a great video because it was a graduate psychology student
mm-hmm.
who was diagnosed with bipolar disorder during graduate school. And it's an interview, and she does a beautiful job of talking about it, knowing what it is and knowing, you know, psychology mm-hmm. the way that she does from right. majoring in psychology. And she talks about some of these things. And one of the things that was so very interesting and almost heartbreaking to hear is she talked about the importance of stress management.
Right.
She said, you know, she's finishing up her doctorate.
Did she finish it?
I don't know. She was still in the process
mm-hmm.
During the interview. But she was working towards her doctorate. But in it, she said, but I know that I'll never be able to work at that level because it's just too stressful.
Mm.
I know that if I start working at that level, then I will get revved into a manic episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about things that had happened during her undergraduate career
right.
that took her from hypomania into mania and into a hospitalization. And she says that she is going to, though she's going to finish her doctorate, she said she'll always have to work at a bachelor's or maybe master's level,
mm-hmm.
Those types of right. positions.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she has this education that is much, much higher than
prepared
that.
Prepared her to do far
right.
more.
Mm-hmm. And it's, but it, while it was heartbreaking, it was so good to see. And I think that mm-hmm. a lot of people should see that because what she's saying is, I recognize
That's right.
that if my stress gets too high, mm-hmm. it is not good for me.
That's right.
I'm going to become dysfunctional and I'm going to decompensate and fall apart.
Right.
And I can't allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to make this sacrifice, this lifestyle decision, to not allow my stress to get right. to that level so that I can manage it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a great example
right.
of what people have to do.
That's right. You have to manage it.
Right.
I mean, I just can't stress it enough. But again, think of it in terms of diabetes or
mm-hmm.
high blood pressure. You have to follow the doctor's orders. You have,
right.
and you have to live a life that enhances, assures, or complements everything else, so that you improve treatment efficacy.
Right.
Right.
Right. Just and doing some of these lifestyle things, a healthy
right.
diet. You know, healthy diets oftentimes includes low carb.
That's right.
I'm really interested in doing a study on the efficacy of a ketogenic diet
mm-hmm.
with bipolar disorder.
Right.
There's just a lot of
Well, we use it for epilepsy, you know, and
right.
it's effective with epilepsy. So you begin to wonder, you know, would it work with
the epilepsy with medications bipolar work with bipolar disorder?
We use anti-epileptic medications to treat it.
And if we have an a diet plan, a meal plan that works for epilepsy, you know, might it also work for mood stabilizing? So I think that would be a fascinating study. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so healthy diet, a rigid, good sleep routine, stress management, exercise, all of these lifestyle things are of critical importance. Mm-hmm. And if you can adhere to those things consistently, the need for medication is often decreased. Again, you may, as you said earlier, you may decrease the need for a sleep aid. You may decrease the need for that second or third or fourth medication to manage mood because lifestyle is keeping those things in check for you. So it's so important.
Right.
But those are the five.
Well, the last one is support.
Right.
Getting
the family stuff.
Right. But also there are groups.
Right.
That can be helpful.
Yeah.
There are programs. There are things you can do. Access community helpers. Get the support that you need. Your family should be your first line of support, but you have coworkers, you have extended family, and if not, look for a group that meets to discuss, and you can get support and help from other people. So don't try to go it alone.
Right.
I mean, this is one of those disorders where you shouldn't try to manage it on your own.
Absolutely.
You need your family support, you need extended family support, friends, relatives, anybody you can bring into this who can help you with the management of the symptoms.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's going to make it better.
Absolutely.
When we talk about comprehensive treatment, this is one of those disorders where comprehensive treatment in these in these five components is absolutely essential.
Right, absolutely. So,
and always, if you have any questions, give us a call.
Absolutely.
We'll be able to guide you in the right direction.
Absolutely. So, all right, well, that is it for today then. And this week, I suppose. If you have any questions about bipolar disorder or any thoughts or stories you want to share, write to us, let us know.
Anything that might be helpful for others. Yeah.
All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.